Okay, very welcome to everybody. Today's daf is Bavitzia Daf Chaf Hey. We left off on Daf Chaf Dalin and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Dalin and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Vasimcha Allah Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. Also for Rabbi Bruckheimer, in loving memory of his wife, Hindel Basel Yakima Cohen, Zichrona Levracha, and in honor of his real Bar Mitzvah anniversary, which is Adar Sheni. And finally, by Rabbi Ariel Rakovsky, in commemoration of the yard site of Rabbi Dr. Isaiah Rakovsky, Harav Yeshaya ben Harav Agon Rav Shalom. Rabbi Rakovsky worked very closely with and was a very close friend of my wife's grandfather, Reverend Jonas Gewurz, Zichrono Levracha, the Rakovsky and Gewurz families go way, way back. His neshama should have an aliyah, and I'm sure his neshama is getting nachas ruach from all the great work that his family, that our family, that we're all doing together. Okay, so today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to have a Mishnah that's about those things that are chayiv lahachriz, meaning elu mitziyah shalom, yeah, but the elu chayiv lahachriz. Now we have to get to those things that need to be announced. And then the Gemara is going to ask a stira about returning something without a simen that's found right next to something with a simen, meaning do you return such an item? We're going to have a stira whether you return something that doesn't have a simen if it's found right next to something as if it's together with that which does have a simen. And the Gemara is going to have four resolutions to that stira. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what about finding money, if the money is piled, if it's spread out in different currencies. So the Gemara is going to talk about when you assume that finding money you would have to actually return, and when we assume that there's no simen in terms of the way the money is set up. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about mitzios that you shouldn't touch, that you just leave there. You should neither be machriz nor keep. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a stira about finding a kli hidden in an ashpa, and it's going to be a stira between two sources. So the Gemara is going to have three resolutions to that stira. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Dalid Amud Bey. So again, we had said at the very beginning of the parak that Eilu Metzios Shalom, and Eilu Chayav Lahachris. So our Mishnah comes to be Mefaret those Metzios that you don't get to keep, that have a simen, and therefore you need to be Machris in order to return them, in order to do the great mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So Ve'elu Chayav Lahachris, the following are the Metzios that one has to announce. Matzah Peros B'Kli, O Kli Kamoshahu. If a person finds Peros inside of a Kli, or even if he finds an empty Kli, as is, with nothing in it, and a Stam Kli, we assume, has a simen, or Ma'os B'Kis, you find money in a wallet, O Kis Kamoshahi, or you find an empty wallet without anything inside of it. And normally there's a simen on a Kis. Tzibure Peros, a person finds gathered fruits, and the simen is either the place where they are gathered, or the number of payrolls there are. Tzibure Ma'os, gathered money. So as opposed to Ma'os Mefuzaros, this is money that's gathered together. So for example, Shlosha Matbeos, if you find three or more coins, Ze al Gav Ze, piled one on top of the other, even if you find them in a Rishos Harabim. Krichos, where you find small bundles that are tied together, the Rishos HaYachid, in a Rishos HaYachid, and therefore, since there aren't a lot of people around there that are going to trample all over it and cause the simen to go away, v'kikara shel balabayis, where you find loaves of bread that are baked by a balabayis, not by a professional baker, and therefore there's a simen, v'gizei tzemer, where you find shearings of wool that are halukuchin mi beisu uman, that are purchased from a beisu uman, and normally the uman is gozes the tzemer with his own unique style from other people, and therefore that shinoi, the way that he does it uniquely, is considered to be a simen. Kadei yayin v'kadei shemen, jugs of wine. That's our daf yomi coincidence for the day, right? For Purim, we have kadei yayin. So kadei yayin v'kadei shemen, you have jugs of wine or jugs of oil. So there's a simen in the seal around the barrel or the jug of the wine or the oil. Elu chayv la'achris. These are the things that a person has to announce that you're not allowed to keep it for yourself. So now, we had said in the Mishnah that peros in a kli or money in a kis, you have to announce. So Gemara says, what's the situation exactly that you find the kli and peros that we assume that the peros belong to the bala kli, or when do we assume that the peros are do not necessarily belong to the bala kli? So it says Gemara, time of the matzah peros bikli. The reason that you have to announce it is because you found the peros inside of the kli. Umaos bikis, or because you found the money inside of the wallet, and the simon of the kli will therefore work for the contents of the kli as well. But hakli ulefan of peros, kis ulefan of maos. If there's a kli with some peros in front of it, you have a wallet with some money in front of it. Hare l'shalo, that those peros, the kli you're not allowed to keep, but the peros, the money you're allowed to keep because there's no simon on them. So tanin alaha. So we learned a brisa that supports this. The Tanur Rabbanan. We have a brisa that says matzah kli ulefan of peros. Kis ulefan of maos hare lushalo, exactly like it's like the implication of our Mishnah that if the peros are not in the kli, the money's not in the kis, then you get to keep it. But the brisa continues, says miksasan bikli and miksasan al gabikarka. But if some of the peros are in the kli and some are on the ground, miksasan because miksasan al gabikarka, some of the money is in the kis and some is on the ground. Chayv lahachris, then you need to be machris both on the peros or the money because it's something that's mochiyah. That those peros or that money is part of what was inside the kli, and just some of it spilled out. So therefore, you need to be mapless because it's all considered to be one set of peros or one set of money. So frak the Gemara, but wait, Reminu, I'll ask a stira. The Brisa says that if you find something that does not have a simin next to something that does have a simin, chayiv lahachriz, you do need to announce it. Well, we just got through saying that if you find the peros in front of the kli, you find the money in front of the kli, you don't need to announce it. And now we're saying that you do. Babal simon, if the owner of the kiss comes that has a simon and he gives a simon on the kiss, minatal ashalo, and he takes his kiss and he says that the money doesn't belong to him, then zachalav adavashen bal simon, then you'll be zocha and that which does not have a simon. So it's a cash on the brisa that says that the money that's found next to the kiss, you know, automatically belongs to the one who finds it. Because over here it says that that chayiv lahachris, that you have to assume that that money belongs to the balakli unless he tells you otherwise. Obviously, if he shows up and he says, I don't know whose money this is, but I just lost a wallet, or I don't know whose parents are. Fine, so then you don't have. Then you'll be allowed to keep the money. But short of that, he gets his money back. So isn't that a stira? So answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Zid, lo kasha. We're going to have several answers. Answer number one is habakuva v'kitna v'habitzana upiri. The Mishnah and the first brisa that said that if you find something that does not have a simon next to something that does have a simon, that which does not have a simon belongs to the guy who found it and not to the bala simon, is talking about where it's where it's like flax. If the pishton was inside the container and fell out, the derech is that part of the pishton would have remained inside the container. So from the fact that the container is there and there's not even a little bit of flax inside the container, so that's a raya that this flax was never inside this container and it was dropped by two different people. So the container has a simin, the bala container can come get it. The flax has no simin, so he can't come get it. But Sino Piri, when it's regular peros that fall, a lot of times you dump over the kli and all the peros roll out of the kli. So you can assume that those peros came from the kli. Or alternatively, a second answer, Rav Papa Amar, Havaha Betzino Piri. They're both talking about a basket that has peros next to it. Velokasha hadi ishtayir bamidi. The second brisa that says chayv lahachris is talking about where some of the peros are still inside of the basket. Vahad lo ishtayir bamidi. And the first brisa and the Mishnah are talking about there where there's nothing left inside of the basket. So since stam kli that normally has some sort of a rim around the edge of the kli, and when peros fall out of the kli, it's the derech that something will get caught in the rim. And over here, nothing was caught in the rim. So it's a raya that the peros didn't fall from this kli, that the peros therefore belong to the guy who found the peros. A third answer, vivayse mahava, the lowish tire b'midi. They're both talking about a case where nothing was left inside of the kli. Below kasha, hadamadri api legabe peri, vahadalamadri api legabe peri. That the second brisa was talking about where the opening of the kli was on the side where the peros are, so it could be that the peros fell from that kli. But the other was talking about that yes, the peros were next to the kli, but they were next to the bottom of the kli. The kli kli flipped this way, and the peros were on that side, on the side that was opposite where the kli was flipped over. So it's less likely or unlikely that the peros and the kli were from those peros were from that kli. And a final answer, vibay sema havahad ma'adapel gabe peri. They're both talking about a case where the opening of the kli was where the peros are. Velo kasha hadi ispa ugnin l'tzana had less ugnin l'tzana. It depends. The basket that the peros, the basket that's found next to the peros, have a rim around the edge of the basket. That if it did have a rim around the edge of the basket and there's nothing in there, so then it's a raya that those peros didn't come from the kli. But if there's no rim at the end of the basket and there's nothing in there, that's because there's nothing preventing all of the peros from spilling out. But you can assume that those peros came from the kli. So that's how we resolve the stira as to what we do with the peros that are found next to a kli where the kli has a simen and the peros do not have a simen. But then the Mishnah said, sometimes the way the peros are arranged, they do have a simen. Sibore peros, vitsibore ma'os, bundles of peros, bundles of money. So the Gemara explains, can you prove from our Mishnah that a number of an item is a valid simen that would require you to return the Aveda? So Shab Minah, Minyan Avi Simen. Ooh, it seems from our Mishnah that that a minyan is a simen, because what else is the simen on Sibore peros? It says Sibore in plural, that if you lost a number of piles of peros, or a number of piles of money, so then it's considered a valid enough simen, because what other simen would there be? So says Mar Tani, Tzibur peros. No, you could be goris in the Mishnah, Lashon Yachid, a single pile, and there is no number of Tziburim that you can be used as a simen. What then would the simen be? So the only alternative is that the simen is the makom, that since you found the peros piled together in a specific place, and it looked like they were piled purposefully in that place, so the guy who lost it can give that as a simen, that's where he put the peros. Shab minah, makom avi simen. So we see from there that makom in fact is a simen. So says, meaning, so now we'll have a raya that makom is a simen. So says Mark, no, tani tzibure peros, because we also have an alternative girsa that it's tzibure peros. So bottom line is, you can definitely prove something from a Mishnah, we're just not sure what. You can either prove that minyan is a simen, or you could prove that makom is a simen, because there's some sort of simen that requires you to be machriz. If it's siborei, it's minyan. If it's sibor, then it's makom. But one or the other is going to be a simen. Then the Mishnah says shlosh matbeil zel gavzeh, that if you have three coins, one on top of the other, so then you're a chayiv lahachriz. So the Gemara explains Amar Rav Yitzchak migadla'a v'husha asuyin kim migdalin. You wonder migadla'a kim migdalin. Rav Yitzchak from a place called if you wear rose colored glasses, the whole world looks like roses. So if you're from Migdala, you can answer all the kashas with Migdalin. So he said that the case is that the matbeya, the bottom matbeya is wider than the middle matbeya, which in turn is wider than the top matbeya. So since the coins are put in such a way where they're built like a pyramid, so obviously it was put there purposefully like that. That's not something that a person just drops that way. That's obviously something that was done that way. The Maritz Chayis writes that Migadla'a, I wasn't just joking before, Maritz Chayis writes that happens sometimes in Shas, where you have a person who's only quoted one place in the entirety of Shas, his name will be based on the teaching that's said from him in Shas, because that's how he leaves a shame for Klal Yisrael. That's how we know him for forever, because he made it into Shas with this one teaching. So it's about something that relates to a Migdal, and he brings rayas from other cases of gedolei of apparently Amoraim who only come up one place and they're called by that name. Problem is that we do find other ma'amarim in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a. Apparently, in Shabbos Daf Kof Lamed Tes, Yuma Daf Pe'al, Nida Daf Chav Zayin, and Daf Lamed Gimel, and in the Yerushalmi, there's Rabbi Yudon Migadalia. So apparently, there was this place, Gadla'a. So there is such a place. So it could just be that he came from the place of okay. So Tani Namiha. So what did he say? That it's Kimigadalan. That since it's built in this way, so then it's obvious that the person had left it there on purpose. Tani Namiha. We have a brayso that says Matz. That if you find scattered money, you're allowed to keep the money. But if the money is arranged and built like a pyramid, then you have to be machris. Means it's at least three coins, one on top of the other, with the widest one at the bottom and the narrowest one at the top. So you have the quarter on the bottom, and then the nickel, and then the dime. So hagufa, no one uses pennies anymore. So hagufa kasha, so says Gemara, but this itself is a stira. Amrit matamos First, it says that if you find scattered money, it's shalom. The implication of that is if they're put in a way where it's put on the one underneath it and it's not, they're not scattered all over the ground. So it sounds like that's enough to be chayv lahachris. But then a masefa asuin kimigdalin, that only if it's arranged in size order and built like a pyramid, then chayv lahachris. But hamishlach vishal chufei harei l'shalom. But if it's just piled up normally, then it's harei l'shalom. So Tana kol she'en asuin kimigdalin mifuzar is karilu. No, it must be that the Tana assumes that anything that's not built like a pyramid would be categorized as mifuzaros, and therefore that would be harei l'shalom. It's only if it's kimigdalin that chayiv lahachris. So the Gemara explains that not every case that the matbeos are arranged like a migdal do we say that you necessarily chayiv lahachris. Amar Rabbi Chanina lo shanu ela shel shlosha malachim. This din that if you find three matbeos zel gav zeh that you chayiv lahachris is only if there are three different kings that are on the matbeya. The Gemara assumes that each matbeya has a different tzura because the derech of each melech is to be matbiya on his matbeos, his name and his surah, not because of the size of the matbeya is different, but just the image on the matbeya is different. Aval shel melech echad, but if all the matbeos had the same melech on it, eino chayev lahachris, and you would not have to announce it. Well, frankly, Gemara hechidami, what's the case where Rabbi Chanina is talking that it depends on whether you have three kings on the three coins or one king on all three coins? If it's arranged like a pyramid, then even if it's one king minted on all three coins, you would imagine you'd still be chayv la'achris because you don't drop things in the form of a pyramid. And if it's not a sun kimigdalin, you shouldn't be chayv la'achris even if there are three kings. A guy could drop three different coins from three different malchus out of his pocket. No, Rabbi Chanina's did has to be reformatted a little bit. That lo shanu ella shel melech echa. The idea that matbeos that are arranged in a pyramid formation is that's chayv lahachris is only if they are if they're of one melech, but each one is a different shel melech echad ke'ein shlosha melachim. If it's made like it's melech echad, but it's ke'ein shlosha melachim. In that, it's a different size. Meaning, set up like a pyramid means that there's a wider one at the bottom, middle one in the middle, and a narrowest one at the top. Ve'echidami, and what does that mean? Dasin kimigdalin revicha tata'a metzia ilavei vizuta ilavei metzia. That you have like we said, the widest one at the bottom, middle one on top of that, and the narrowest one on top. Tamrinan, because from the fact that they're found arranged in such a way, we say anuche anuchinu, that it was placed that way purposely. Aval shel melech echad kuluki adadinu. But if you have three equal sized coins, aval gav demanche adadi, even though they're placed one on top of the other, harei l'shalo, you're allowed to keep them. Emeris from yisrami bahadi hadadi nafel. That it could be that just happened that way, that they fell one on top of the other. So therefore, that would not be a simon. So this whole idea of shel melech echad really wasn't about Melech Echad or Shosh Melachim. It wasn't like we originally thought that it was about the faces on the coin. No, it was really about the size of the coins. That if all three coins were a uniform size, so then that's not going to be a good simon. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Filu Shel Melech Echad, Nami Machris. That even if they are all the same size, you are still going to have to be Machris. My Machris, so what are you going to be Machris? It says, Gemara, minion. You'll have to, the number of coins that you found, and the Baal will give a simon that they were put one on top of the other. Well, my Yitzlasa, Filu Trinami, if that's the case, why is it only if it's three Matbeos that this din, even if it was two Matbeos, the din should be Shaykh? That if the Baalim says that he lost two, and they were Mesudar, one on top of the other, that should be a good enough simon. So Amar Ravina, Tiva Machris, that the Machris, when you announce that you found coins, and the Bailim gives a simon as to the number of coins, and therefore two matbeos and not a simon, because if you ever say I found coins, so me at the Rabbi Mishnayim, it's always going to be at least two, so it's just going to be a lucky guess if he says two. So that's not going to be an indicator of anything. The Gemara now explains when you find three coins in other formations? Meaning, is it only the Migdal formation that counts as a siman? What if the coin is set up in the coins are set up in a smiley face? You know, so like that doesn't happen that way normally when you drop it. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, kishir mahu. What if you have it in a they're set up in a circle, kishura mahu, or they're set up in an exact row in a line, kichatzuva, or it's set up in a triangle, mahu, kisulam, or it's set up where one coin is slightly off the edge of the other one, and the next one is slightly off the edge of the other one, where it's like a staircase. That they're set up in the formation of a staircase. So mahu, what's the din? Is that considered good enough siman? So pshot me'achada. So at least we'll be able to be poshet one of these shilos. Dam Rav Nachum, Dam Rav Ravua, Kol Shilu Machnisla Kisim Beneim. If you can stick a little splinter in between them, benotam bebasachas, and take them all at one time, chayiv lahachris. Then that's chayiv lahachris. So which example is that? That's kisulam. Kisulam is that they're all piled on top of each other. It's just one is moved over a little bit. So it's like a staircase. So you can put something under it and lift them all at the same time. So that's chayiv la'achris. That's considered a good enough siman. So what about the other shaylos the Gemara had? The Gemara never was poshet. What if it's made kishir, kishura, kichatzuva? Those we never answered. So the Rush writes, yeah. So that's what we call a safik daraisa and safik iser, and safik iser is l'chumra, and therefore you have to be machmir and you need to be machris. Shulchan Aruch. The Rush and the Shulchan Aruch paskins like that's what the Rush writes. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, who says lo yitol, just don't get involved, just leave it. So it's not about chayiv lahachris that you have to be machmir. Just if you're masubuk, what to do? Don't do anything. That's the Bir of Gra writes that according to the Rambam, you don't need to be machris because you can't be motzi mamon misafik. So it's not a safik isser, it's like a safik mamon, and a safik mamon you always just leave. You're not going to get involved. It's obviously safik mamon is a little more detailed than that because you have a motzi mechaver lev raya, then you have sumchus who says mamon mitzvah safik cholkin, and when does sumchus argue on the chum? Is obviously a much more detailed conversation. But begadol, that's the machlokas Rambam and Rush over here. So the Gemara brings another case where we're not sure if it's considered derech hinuach by Ravashi. Kavne beis kulis. If the coins are placed like the beis kulis, which is an avodah zarah called markulis, so it's arranged in the same way that the stones of the markulis avodah zarah would be arranged. Mahu, is that considered derech hinuach and yechayiv to be machris or not? So Tashma says, well, bring your raya. Zitana matzah malos mufazaris. You find scattered money arei l'shalol. Kavne beis kulis chayiv lahachris. It says beferish that if it's arranged like kavne beis kulis, you have to announce it. You have to return it because that's considered an unusual tzura. What exactly is the tzura of beis kulis? Achas mikan, v'achas mikan, v'achas al gabehen. Where you have one on each side, and then two, and then one sitting resting on both of them. So in a pyramid, but differently. I mean, it's the three even sized coins where you build two, and then one resting on top of the other two. So the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses whether you can ever have a simin on a single sella, the single coin that's sitting there on its own. Tan Rabbanan, motzi sella bashuk. If a person finds a sella in the market, and someone else runs into him and he says, hey, it's my coin, and he gives a simon. He says, chadashi, it's a brand new coin, or nironesi, it has niron kesar. He identifies the melech that's on the coin. Because like we said, Rashi writes on Amud Aleph that there was the derech of the melech to be matbia his own shame and his own surah on the coin. And now the Gemara in Gittin in the Churban Agadita says that Neron Kesar was the Sar Tzava of the Melech Romi, and he was sent to destroy Yerushalayim, and in the end he ran away and he was Megayer, and Rav Meir was emerged from him. So in the Seder Adoros it says that it could be that there were two Neron Kesars, one was a Melech and the other was a Sar Tzava, because it was the Melech that would be able to mint coins. A general doesn't get to mint coins. So the Gemara in Gittin is correct that Neron Kesar abandoned ship and he became Jewish, and then he had a descendant Rabbi Meir. So that's when did he ever mint coins? He was never a melech. So maybe there were two Niron Kesars. So anyway, so he says Nironesi, it's a shel melech plonihi, or it's some other melech. Now that's a little bit strange because we just said shel Niron Kesar. What are we adding when we say shel melech plonihi? The Rambam has in when he quotes the Salach in Gzeil Vaveda Chadashihi Bishel Medina Plonisi Bishel Melech Plonihi. So the Mefarshim on the Rambam, Lechem Mishnah, writes that the Rambam obviously had a different gears than the Gemara, that it wasn't Nironis hi shel melech plonihi, it was shel melech ploni or shel medina plonihi. So that's how the person tries to identify it. Anyway, the guy says, it's my money and I can identify it either because it's new or because it's from a certain melech, lo amar klum. That is not a valid simon. Not only that, even if he had his own name written on the coin, lo amar klum, that is not a valid simon. Thing about money is that I could have a $100 bill, but I write my name on every $100 bill. I go and I bring it to the store and I pay with a $100 bill. They'll still take it. So that's the way money works. It always changes hands. So the fact that my name is on it only indicates that it was once mine, but that doesn't indicate that it is still mine, and therefore I'm not allowed to keep it. I'm not able to get it back as with that as my simon. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses if you find items that the way that they're placed is an indication that they were placed there purposely. So matzah achar hagapa. If a person finds an item next to a wall, achar hageder, or a stone wall, goes us mikshorim, where he finds tied up birds, or bishvilin shabasados, or he finds these tied up birds in these pathways in the fields, hareza lo yigaben. Just don't touch them, because probably in that case they were placed there. Matza kli ba ashpa. If you find a kli in the ashpa, so imuchusa. If it's covered up, lo yigabo, don't touch it, because probably it was put there midas. You don't have to worry that it was that it had fallen and then covered. You have to assume someone put it there midas and covered it up. So that's and he was covering it up to protect it. So you don't have it doesn't have a shame aveda. The Torah says if something is an aveda, lo sucha li yisalim, you're not allowed to hide your face from an aveda. But this isn't an aveda. Someone had put it there. But in Magula, but if it's exposed, no tel machris, then you take it. Now it's an aveda. So then you take it and you need to be machris about that aveda. So now the Gemara explains the reason you shouldn't touch gozlos mikusharim that are next to some sort of fence. My time, what's the reason that you shouldn't touch them? Damrinan hani inishatzne inu, because probably someone hid them there. V'yishakalu lasulim arayu simanu begavayu. And if you're going to take them, that's it. You've just taken away the whole simin that the Bailum is able to give, because you're costing the Bailum, you're making them lose out. Hilkoch shavkinu ada asim arayu v'shakalu. So leave them there in the place until the Bailum comes and takes them for himself, meaning a simon is only going to be their location, so he's not going to be able to find them. Otherwise, the gozels look like every other gozels in the world. But what do you mean? There's no other simon. Why isn't, if they're mikusharim, then why isn't the knot that you make to tie these birds together, why isn't that a simon? That would seem to be a valid simon, because everyone ties knots differently. Says Martin, not in this case. They're tied by their wings, and that's not going to simon. Because that's how everybody ties it, and therefore it's not going to be a simon. So, frankly, the Mishnah is talking about gozels that are mekusharim, that are not able to fly. So the Bailim could give a simon about the place where they were placed, where you found them. So, meaning you could pick them up, and he could just tell you you found them next to such and such a place, and that will be the simon. That the Mishnah is talking about birds that hop around from one place to the other. So minastam, they're already not in the place where you put them down, and therefore the makom that you found them is not considered to be a simon. And yet, we're threading the needle over here. Pnei Yeshua points out, it's still considered a makom ha-mishtamer because they're only medadim up to a certain distance, right? The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra tells us that a bird that's not yet flying will only hop up until 50 amos. So when you put it down and you know that it's only at the hopping stage, you know that you're going to find it within a 50 amos vicinity of where you left it. So the Bailim, you have to assume, is going to come back to look for it within those 50 amos. But he's not going to be able to give you the exact location of where they were as a simon, because he doesn't know the exact location of where they were, since they do hop around. So even medadin me alma asu. But if we're talking about that they hop around, we could say that minastam they came from somewhere else, from other places, because they could hop around on their own, and they weren't put. Maybe they weren't put here on purpose. Umutarin, and therefore you should be allowed to keep it. So yikalimemer me alma asu. Yikalimemer inishatzninu. It could be that they came from somewhere else and someone dropped them, or it could be that someone put them in this place or in this vicinity. And therefore it's a suffix whether they were placed there or not. Whenever you have a suffix, whether it was placed there on purpose or not. And certainly, obviously, if it's vadeh hinuach and it doesn't have a simin, l'chavchila lo yital. L'chavchila, you shouldn't take it, because it could be that a person had put it away there, and if you're going to take it and start announcing it, you're going to make the bailim lose out, because they're not going to have a simin, and you're not going to be able to know to return it to them. You're not going to be able to. You're never going to be satisfied with the evidence they have to be able to return to them. Vim natal lo yaksu. But if you already took the object from where it was, then you really can't return it to anybody, because there is no simon. So who in the world would you return it? So what would you do? What would you do in such a case? It would be munach atshiyava liyo. You'd have to let it sit there atshiyava liyo, which obviously is not the ideal situation. So you're much better off not picking it up in the first place. Matzah kli ba'ashva mechusa lo yigabo megula nota lemachas. If you find a kli in the ashva, so if it's covered, don't touch it. And if it's megula, if it's exposed, so then you pick it up and you're machris. Uriminu, but I'll ask you a stira. We have a Rabbi that says, not like the Mishnah, matzah kli tamen ba'ashpa, no to lemachris. If you find a kli that's hidden in the ashpa, so you pick it up and you announce it, shekein derech ashpa lipanos, because it's normal for the ashpa to be cleaned out. So you have to be choshesh that when they clean out the ashpa, a guy or someone who's not a good person, not a good Jew, is going to come find the kli, and he's going to take it for himself. So even though it was placed there on purpose, it's still considered an aveda, because it's about to be wiped away, swept away, and someone else is going to come and take it. So you should take it, and announce it. That's the best chance of the Bailim getting it back. But that's a kasha, because our Mishnah says that if you find a kli mechusar in ashba, you shouldn't touch it. And over here, the Brice is telling me, you find a kli tomun bi ashba, it's no telu machriz. So which is it? So answers the Gemara. Answer number one, Amrav Zvid, lo kasha. Not a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. They're not talking about the same circumstances. Ha b'kuvi v'kasi. The Mishnah is talking about where you have jugs and cups. Ha b'sakini v'hemnik. And the Braisa is talking about where you have knives and you have forks. So the Gemara explains, b'kuvi v'kasi, when you're talking about jugs and cups, so those are larger kelim, where it's not likely that they were accidentally dropped. They would be noticed right away as soon as you drop them. So it's much more mistaver that someone had put them there on purpose. And therefore, lo yigat, don't touch them, because the owner is probably coming back for them. But sakini v'himnik, no telemachris. But if it's a knife or a fork, so those are tinier sorts of items, and therefore you're going to have to pick it up and be machris, because it's unlikely. It's unlikely that it was placed there. It's much more likely that it was that it was dropped. That's just a regular aveda. Rabbeinu Chananel writes that this kli called a hemnik is a kli that has two rushim. It has two heads, like a fork that has three teeth to it. So it's a pitchfork, meaning it's like a tiny little pitchfork. And he says that it was the derech b'nei Yavan lahachzik chatichas habasar v'lachtoch imasakin v'lechel. He starts describing this unusual practice. They would use these things to hold the meat in place, as they would use the knife to cut the meat, and then they would use that same thing that held the meat in place to put the food in their mouth, and their hands never touched the food. Sounds like, from what he's describing, that it was not the normal Jewish practice to eat this way with kelim, which explains my machronim, right? Meaning, why do we have... So Jeremy Strauss told me that, I think he said, his father, Zichrono Lebracha, asked Rabbi Schwab, why is it that yekkes don't wash my machronim? Rabbi Schwab said, because we do not eat with our hands. So the question is, who does and who doesn't eat with their hands? So the Rabbeinu Chananel has this humorous description in the Bnei Tzion. He quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Mark Tzia, as Medayik from the Gemara in Nedarim, that even Bizmanehem they were not knowing to eat with their hands. That it was always the proper Jewish practice. The Gemara says that we learn Tznius ba'achila from, what is it, the Parsiim or something, that we learn proper minhagim of how to do things from different nations. And one of them is this. One of them is to eat nicely, to eat in a way that you're not eating like a slob. So anyway, so that's what the function of this kli is. So that's answer number one. So again, the stira was that in our Mishnah it said that if you find something covered in an ashpa, just leave it there. Brisa says you find something covered in an ashpa, no, pick it up and be machris. So answer number one to the stira is it depends what that something is. Is it a large kli where where it was probably placed there on purpose, or is it a small kli like a fork that was probably not placed there on purpose and therefore you should be makris? Rav Papa gives another answer. Hava hava kuvi v'kasi. They're both talking about jugs and kosos where they were certainly placed in the ashpa midas habaylim v'lo kasha. One is talking about an ashpa where it's the derech to clear it out, and even if the kli was put there midas habaylim, it's still going to get lost if you leave it there, because the whole place is going to be swept out, and therefore it's considered like an aveda, so you need to be notal makris. Whereas kan ba ashpa shein asuy lipanos, whereas the Mishnah is talking about where it's not going to be cleaned up. So if someone put it there for safekeeping, when he comes back, it will still be there. So then you shouldn't touch it. So ask the Gemara on Rav Papa's answer that if we're talking about ashpa asuy lipanos, if it's an ashpa that's meant to be cleaned out, then aveda midasi, then the person was willfully giving up hope on it, because he put it in a place where he knew that it was going to be cleaned out from there. So then there should be no chiyuv hashava anyway. If someone throws away his stuff, so then there should be no chiyuv hashava anyway. Aveda midas happens to be machlokes rishonim. The Rambam writes that it's not considered like hefker. It's just that there is no there. Oh, sorry, someone was calling, so the Zoom audio went out. Hopefully. Okay, I normally put it on do not disturb. So the Rambam writes that when it comes to an aveda midas, that it's not considered like hefker. It's just that there's no chiyuv hashava, and he derives from the pasuk asher tovad prat lema'avi ludas. But it's aser for the guy to take the aveda for himself because it's not really hefker, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well about an aveda midas. But the Torah writes that an aveda midas is hefker, and that's what the Ramah paskins, that an aveda midas is hefker. Even though the Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshen Mishpat that hefker needs to be in front of an additional person, and midrabanan, hefker should be in front of three people. So the Ramah writes in the name of the Torah that afilu beino levein atzmo, it would still count as hefker. So you could still call it hefker, even though it wasn't really in front of people. But anyway, the Gemara's question over here is that if it's an ashpa asuy lipanos, so it's an aveda midas, so you certainly have no chiyuv hashava. The question is, do you leave it there or can you take it for yourself? Ela ba'ashpa she'ein asuy lipanos. So no, we're talking about an ashpa that was not normal for it to be swept out all the time. Only once in a very long while it's asuy lipanos, but v'nimlach le'elefnosa. But then that day they decided, you know what, we haven't cleaned up around here in a while, so that's when they decided to clean up around the ashpa. So says Mar Bishlam, Rav Papa, I understand. So again, we had two answers to the stira. We had Rav Zvid, who said that it depends on the size of the kli, and then we had Rav Papa, who said it depends on whether it was an ashpa asuy lipanos. So Bishlam, Rav Papa, I understand if the brisa is if you say like Rav Papa that the brisa is talking about an ashpa that's meant to be cleaned out. So Hainu Dekatani Shekein Derech Ashpa Lipanos. It says that in the brisa. It says that the reason you have to return it is because it's going to be cleaned out. El Rav Zvid, but according to Rav Zvid, who says that the Brisa is talking about tiny kelim, you know, these knives and forks and things like that. So my shekein derech hashpa lipanos. Why would the Brisa give this explanation of shekein derech hashpa lipanos? According to Rav Zvid, the reason is just because they're very tiny kelim. So answer the Gemara, the Brisa does not mean to say that it's the derech to clear out from where it is. Shekein derech hashpa lipanos la kelim katanim. No, what it means to say is that it's the derech in the ashpa to bring out from the house to the ashpa small kelim, meaning it's natural for kelim to drop, for kelim like that to be dropped. And therefore, you should be notal makris because it's like any other aveda where you have to be makris. Now, the Rush writes both the ukimtos of Rav Zvid and Rav Papa are paskin la halacha, and that's what the Magen Mishnah writes in explaining the shitas Rambam. So it would turn out that la halacha, if a person finds small kelim that are tmunim ba'ashpa, so you would always be notal makris because it could be that they fell there by mistake at the time that they were cleaning out the house. And if you find large kelim, then it would depend. If it's the derech of that ashpa lipanos, then you'd have to be notal makris. And if not, meaning we paskin both ways. Both answers are good. It's just a question of what the brisa was in fact talking about. Okay, because Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with the Mishnah on Kapei Amud Beis.